thankful for that sweet prayer, Brother Charles. Thank the Lord.
Thankful for the water, cold. Be thankful if I don't knock it over. This meeting house and the people here have been a Bethel spot to me for quite some years now. And, it's a good place to be. A lot more people than there was when I sat down. But it is, it's a good place to be, and we trust that our God would deliver us with some degree of power and unction from on high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you have your Bibles, I think I will be mainly or completely in the 5th chapter of Romans. I don't know about you folks, but long as I live in this unfriendly world, the more precious the Word of God gets.
Amen.
All my life I was used to seeing the ungodly do ungodly things, but now those that claim to be His are doing ungodly things, and it makes us doubt. And as far as I'm going with that, because I don't know the heart, but I know the actions, and we're told by the fruits we shall know them. But anyway, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We're told in verse 1 that we're justified by faith. If we have faith, true faith from the heart, in God, as you've heard earlier, that means that we're His. But when we are justified by that faith, it said we have peace with God. Now that might sound like a kind of a strange statement, but I can remember well when I did not have peace with God. Having peace with God changes one from a world of doubt and fear to a world of peace and joy and love. Having peace with God means that we've been brought out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what our Lord and Master done. Left the high chimes of glory to come to this low ground of sin and sorrow for us. He didn't gain any stature per se, although we are told that He was able to open the seals of the book, because Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by Thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. In that instance, He's praised and honored more. But we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Like I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. That's the people that know the joyful sound. Those that feel to be blind inwardly know that we've sinned to come short of the glory of God. And yet at the same time, we have that peace with God, which causes us to know that our sins have been put away as far as the east from the west, never to be remembered no more. Said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I don't know how many times I've heard it said by people and those that heard it. If all I had was the hope, wouldn't do me any good. Well, according to this, it does. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, won't it be wonderful there? Think about that. Having no burdens. This world is bankrupt morally, physically, mentally, religiously. Every which way you can think, this nation is bankrupt. I got to where it's almost impossible just to watch the local news. I don't have Fox. I don't have cable. But the local news is more than I can stand in. The more I have to flip to a different station. It had this woman. Don't get me wrong, I like women, obviously. But she's given this great big spiel about that she's not accepted by some people, and she is head of the LGBTQ plus or whatever it is. Wanting to know why God's people don't accept her. And she was talking to a man. He said, I've been in this church all my life, and now they don't want to accept me. I'm the same person. I know God loves me. I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, it could have a change. We're not saying that people can't change, because they can. That quicker, they can be changed. But this man is contending for the gay lifestyle. The woman is contending for it and claiming to be a woman preacher on top of that. But anyway, he said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Some people don't care much about tribulations. I don't think we enjoy them at all during when we're going through them. But that being said, it brings us closer to God. Tribulations worketh patience. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walked this low ground of sin and sorrow for something like 3.5 years, and he was in tribulations his entire time he was here, as far as I know. You might say, well, it didn't bother the Son of God. Well, it did. It did. He cried out to God. He fell on his face in the garden and prayed. He stood and looked up and prayed. that he begged for God's will. And he begged to be reconciled to that will. He said he didn't have anywhere to lay his head. One of them he chose is the one that betrayed him. He said, "What thou doest, do quickly." I might shouldn't get into this, but I ain't got no better sense. People still yet try to figure out where Judas is going. Now, that's not our job, number one. But number two, think about it. He said it was better he had never been born. And he said he went to his own place. Now, if that sounds like a place of comfort to you, your thoughts are different from mine. Went to his own place, and better he had never yet been born. Of all the pain and agony that Brother Stanley went through, it was good he had been born, even though he went through that suffering, because he's rested in the Savior's love, asleep in Jesus, if you will. That's what happens if God loves you. But if the Master said it better he had never been born, it doesn't sound like there's any peace for that fella. That we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That hope comes from tribulations and patience and experience. That hope was bought with the blood of the Lamb of God. And it's different from, "I hope I get home this afternoon. I'm told it's supposed to storm and this, that, and the other. It rained an inch and a quarter last night at my house. It come down hard. It was light and it was noisy. Simply the rain beat down on the roof. I could hear it. The lightning I could see, and the thunder I could hear. And I enjoyed every bit of it, now don't get me wrong. I had the door cracked open a little bit so I could hear it better, but my wife shut it. But I've been known to sneak and open it again, but I didn't last night. But it shows the power of God. You know, he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Even the unjust can see the beauty of God's creation, and they still think it happened with a big boom over yonder somewhere. The account in Genesis, nowhere can I find where there was a loud noise. He said, "Let there be," and it was. Didn't take any noise to make it. Made it out of things that did not appear. But he made it nevertheless. If we make something, depending on what you use to make it with, I usually use saws and hammers and drills and stuff like that. It makes a lot of noise. But God just said, "Let it be. Let it be." And it was. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, that's a lot in that fifth verse. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Remember the day of Pentecost? Thousands were added to the church. Remember when the apostles went preaching and they was accused of being drunk? They said, it's only the third hour of the day. We're not drunk. I worked for a while at the same place my son did. And people always ask me, what is he or what are y'all on? You know, thought we had some real powerful stuff. Well, we did. It's that spirit that comes from God that gives us hope that in this life only. But we know God, and we know that we will see Him in yonder's world, gathering around the throne of God with all the saints in light. Carried there on the wings of His love. Far as I know, I have never seen an illegal drug. I smell marijuana when it was smoked, but I wouldn't know what that was if somebody hadn't told me. Never had no thoughts, never had no desires. I must confess that the liquid kind I've got closer to. I grew up in a county next to the moonshine capital of the United States. Grandpa kept jugs. Everywhere he went, he'd find a jug. But the stuff is nasty. Guy I used to work for put it in coffee. You talking about nasty. Black coffee, the way some people make it's nasty to start with, and then you put moonshine in it, it's almost impossible to get past your nose. It'd be better if you couldn't, but that's another story. But that's what they lived on down home. That's where NASCAR race come from. The guys down close to where I lived that had them little old Fords, and they put the Cadillac V8s in them. That run the revenues. Jack up the back so when you load it down, it'd be level. Didn't want it like that. It stopped every time. But you couldn't catch it. Nowadays, with radar and radios, they can catch it. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Did you catch that? When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't know how it is with most people, but I find somewhat of a pattern. Man thinks he's got it all, he can do it all, and he can do it whenever he wants. Then when the master starts working on you, you get humbled down to know that you can't do anything, and you're afraid to live and afraid to die. But when you're without strength, the Spirit of God comes and arrests you in your mad career. Causes you to know that He's God and besides Him there is none other. Causes you to know that you're lost and without any kind of help other than God. And trust me, if God is your helper, you don't need any other. But that's what it means when it says, well, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. There was no righteous to die for. There was no righteous to accept. All of us were ungodly. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans will tell you that in 3:23. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none good, no, not one. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still yet in sin, Christ died for us. And we had to be in sin because we've been in sin until he died and paid the price. Back in the old days, in the Old Testament, I should say, they had all the sacrifices yearly, sometimes. Every time something good happened, you sacrifice. They had the Passover. Have you ever thought about that? Kill the lamb. Take the blood and put it on the lintel and the doorpost. And when I come by, I will pass over that house. Brethren, think about that. All of that led up to the blood of Jesus Christ paying the price for all of his people. And that death angel will pass over us. Because we've been born again, not of the will of the flesh, but of God, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It is amazing to me that God would love one like me. There was a song a long time ago said, what did I ever do? Cause God to love me, something like that. Nothing. Ain't done nothing since either. But he loves us. Before we were, he loved us. I mean, it was 2,000 years or so ago when he hung on the cross. Obviously, we were not there then. In body. But we were there in purpose. When our sweet Lord hung on that tree of the cross, he paid the price for all that the Father had given him. Not a one was lost. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. We joy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We used to sing at Fellowship Church quite a bit. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. You know, y'all got the 12. Black Rock's got the 11. Elder Larry had a 7. Probably old as I was. But they still had songs, and they still were good. They said, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. There's a whole lot in that one verse. If you love Jesus and you know you're his, that means that he died for you, that he paid the price you couldn't pay, and that you're resting in his love. That's a real nice place to be. Would to God that we could always feel close to him. I feel close to him coming down the road. The first series of mountains that I came to between Hanover and Frederick, that's when I started to pray, thanking my God. Past 7 horse-drawn carriages with the Amish, I suppose. 7. I passed 2 or 3 before on that highway, but this morning was 7. And you come up on them quick, because they go, what, 10, 12 miles an hour, I guess. Every one of them mostly had the kids looking out, and you know, I waved at the kids. Sometimes they wave back, sometimes they don't. Most time they do. I'd like to blow the horn and wave at them, but I don't want to scare the horse. That would not be good. But right or wrong, they are living a life different from the world. Way different from the world. And I imagine they're in tribulations just like we are. But it'll work out patience and experience and hope. And hope makes us not ashamed.
Sing for us, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet.
Appreciate you.
Good to be here with you, and we'd ask you that you send your prayers to stand before you just for a few moments this morning. It's always good to be able to come out of the world and to just together with a portion of God's people.
Yes.
As Brother Bonnie has said, you know, this world offers nothing in way of peace to a little child of grace. But praise be to God that we serve a God who's able to give us peace in the midst of all of that. In the midst of the storm and in the midst of all the confusion that's out in the world, that our God is faithful. And he's able to lift us up and above our life circumstances in a way that we can truly rejoice and praise him for that which he has blessed us to enjoy on this side of glory. You know, as we gather today, I had one verse in my head. Titus. And when I think about that verse, it's that, you know, when we gather together, I think we all, chapter 1, verse 2 at the end of your Bibles, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Don't we each have that hope? That's one of the things that makes our gathering so sweet. You know, the world might be confused about who God is. But when we gather to hear about those sure promises that the Lord God has made unto his people. And one of the sweet things about that is that when we realize that the hope that we have has been given to us from above, and as Brother Boney spoke, you know, in Romans 3, that we are blessed to realize that we have nothing to bring. We have nothing at all in form of anything good that would be acceptable in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. And once we once we've been brought to that revelation and we're blessed to realize that truth, and then we rejoice in things when we see that we have been given a hope in spite of us, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. To be redeemed means that we were already His. But that transgression that Adam made created that separation. And when we read in that Romans letter that we now have peace with God by the faithfulness of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because Jesus was faithful, even to the death of the cross. So we can rejoice in that hope, brethren, realizing that we have nothing at all, we had no part in it, except our sins. But we had no work in it, in the sense of trying to gain that acceptance and trying to clean up ourselves or trying to walk in a way that might be pleasing to Almighty God, realizing, brethren, that God has already declared that there was none that was righteous. There was none that understood. There was none that sought. That included all of us. None of us excluded from that. But yet, we can gather in a little Bethel spot like this and have a hope. That we have a hope of eternal life because God has promised us that hope. He has promised us that hope, and not only that, he has guaranteed us, brethren, that nothing at all that we would ever do or would ever separate us from Him because of what Jesus has accomplished on Calvary's cross. You know, to declare a finished work that cannot be undone. We can't accomplish that. We can't accomplish anything that cannot be undone. But Jesus did. He accomplished that work on Calvary's cross, brethren, that no man, no thing, nobody, nothing that in this world or the world to come is ever going to change what He has done. So when we think about that and we gather into a little Bethel spot like this, we're able to rejoice, brethren, realizing that our rejoicing is not based upon any race that we ran ourselves. It's not based upon our ability to get anything right. But it's based upon the faithfulness of the Lord our God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, took upon Himself our sins, received that punishment from the Father on our behalf, truly became the propitiation for us, to stand in our stead, to receive that wrath that was rightly due us. And in that finished work, we're justified in the eyes of the Father by the faithfulness of His Son. Isn't that reason to be glad? Isn't that reason to rejoice? To come out of the world just for a season, to hear that sweet truth. You're not going to hear it out there. You know, as confused and as mixed up as God's children are, brother, because I believe a lot of those people, God's children, as confused and as mixed up as they are, brethren, except by the grace of God, there goes I, or any of us. You know, brethren, I love that God has placed in His Word, Romans 10. You know, brethren, I think that we who've been blessed to see through that glass darkly, always be mindful of what we have been given. And also be mindful to lift up God's children, wherever they might be, They're going to be in heaven with you. You know, we're going to be up there rejoicing together. But the apostle wrote that his heart's desire was not just him, but his heart's desire was that all of Israel might be saved. For truly they had a zeal for the things of God, but without understanding. So that poor one who stood up and says, I know that God loves me, that I possibly could love them. But see, what they lack is an understanding of what they're doing and how that is viewed in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. You see, because nothing they're going to do is going to separate them from God. God has already declared that. If he loves them today, it means he has loved them before time was. Amen. And while they don't realize that they have that hope of eternal life, because God does not lie. Our God is faith. He doesn't lie. And if he had declared that they are his, and they will be in heaven's pure world, and that finished work of his Son has cleansed them and he has made them righteous in the eyes of Almighty God, they can live foolish down here and miss out on all that we have been blessed to enjoy as we've gathered today. They can miss out on all of that. But one thing they won't miss out on that Jesus has redeemed them by his blood unto God. And that redemptive blood was precious in the eyes of the Father, who declared, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. To be righteous in the eyes of Almighty God means that you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been cleansed by him who was faithful to the Father to finish that work that the Father sent him to do. And that work was done to the praise and to the honor and glory of the Creator of this world and all that there is. That is the simple truth of the matter. Can't put it any simpler than any truth. It's not about anything that this sinner has done or will do. But this sinner can do a whole lot to miss out on that joy, that fellowship on this side of glory. I can't do anything, and you can't do anything, or none of us can do anything going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.